Hey, Nikki Booker here, and welcome to my podcast, Find Your Soul, Find Your Soulmate. My podcast is about relationships. We talk about dating, we talk about divorce, we talk about relationships with your children, relationship with yourself. We talk about pretty much everything, and today I'm really excited because my mom is on as a guest, and we're super close. We have a great relationship, and so we basically just talk about that and talk about that today, talk about the kind of relationship we have and why we both believe we are so close. I talk about some things that maybe she taught me or reasons I believe that we are close, and then we flip the switch, and she talks about, you know, some things she did as she was raising me that she contributed to us having the relationship that we do now. So I hope you enjoy it. It's a really great one. It's really special. My mom's the best. Pat Johnson is her name. And I hope you enjoy our little chat. Hi, Mommy.
Hello, daughter.
Welcome to my podcast.
Thank you. My first.
No, this is first on mine, but you've been a guest on other podcasts before because you're a badass entrepreneur. So I'm excited to talk to you today. We've been wanting to do this for a while and we were like, what should we talk about? I don't know what to talk about. Maybe we should talk about this. Maybe we should talk about that. And we finally decided at our women's mastermind that we're in, we're going to talk about the mother-daughter relationship.
I think it's perfect.
Duh, why didn't we think of that before? But I want to give people just a little bit of a background. My mother and I are extremely close and have a very good relationship. And not just in our own minds, right? Like we have people commenting throughout the years. A lot of my friends have said, man, I wish I was that close with my mom. Your mom's awesome. Everybody loves my mom. And not because it was like, we're going over to Nikki's house to party kind of mom. It was like they could talk to you about stuff. And then I found myself often in that position of like, I talk to you about their stuff.
Oh,
and
I
then
remember.
I'd go and I talk to them. So you're like counseling without directly indirectly. But, anyway, I'm getting on tangent, but you know, we built a business together. We sold a business together without killing each other. Right. Like that's hard for some, families to do. We lived together during that process. That was after I wasn't even divorced yet, right? It's going through a divorce, starting over. I lived in the house with my two kids, my two dogs. Well, Allie wasn't even born yet.
Yeah, so I was going to say, you were pregnant, dogs.
Dogs, and my
son. Oh, and my mother. So.
And Gigi.
Yes.
So we had four generations living. Thank God it's a big house, because yeah. I think that would have been a little difficult. But we did a great job. We made it work. We had four generations, and throughout that, we built a business. We sold it
together.
And you've always been somebody that I can come to and talk to about anything. And we enjoyed the process. Mm-hmm. Like we're friends. So I just want to talk to you today about why you think we're so close, right? Like, what are some of the things that we did in throughout our relationship that resulted in us being so close? And so I wrote down like five things, and of course there's a lot more than five, but when I had to really kind of drill down into, what are the things, it's not just why do I think we're so close? It's also some things that you really taught me growing up. And I think because you taught me those things, it resulted in us having a close relationship. So I'm just going to jump right in.
Go for it.
Okay. And then we'll flip it later.
Okay.
And mom's going to tell me some reasons that she thinks, some things maybe she did, as she raised me, just reasons that she believes that we are so close.
Okay.
So I'm going to start first because I'm the kid, right?
Well, you always go first.
So, which leads me to my first thing, actually, is one thing that you always I don't know that you taught me that, but you showed through example I just always knew that you were very selfless in regards to me. you always put my needs ahead of your own in a healthy way, not like in a self-destructive way, right? Mm-hmm. Or unhealthy way, right? But I knew and I always felt that I was a priority to you and that you cared about my happiness and not just about my happiness, but my well-being, and that I knew you wanted me to be successful in life. So that's a lot, right? I knew you wanted me to be successful in life. And so you took your parenting job very seriously, right? And isn't there a story about that?
Oh, I love this. Yeah, that does make me think of a story. I think you're maybe 8 years old, and you were just appalled with one of your friend's behavior, and you told me what it was, and it's like, oh, thank you for so much information. But what was so funny was you were just shocked that her parents were totally unsupportive, didn't care, and were just left her to do it because they didn't want to deal with it.
I remember who you're talking
and
about.
You know
now.
What I'm talking about. And you came to me, you said, can you believe this? They just do not take their parenting job seriously. But we had that agreement that this was a responsibility. The parenting is a responsibility.
You definitely took your job seriously as a parent. I'm not arguing that. Well, and I do fun. Too. That's where yeah. I get it from. Yeah. So the next thing that you taught me, one of the many, but that stood out to me, is that you taught me about accountability. You mm-hmm. taught me that I am responsible and accountable. I have to be accountable for my own behaviors. And I'm responsible for my behavior and whatever the consequences they are, whether good or bad, right? And, but you did that in a way, and we were talking about this earlier, is I never felt judged by you. Like I knew you when you were unhappy with me about doing something, but you always made me feel heard. And you didn't make me feel like I shouldn't feel a certain way. You were very good about, well, this is actually my next thing. So you taught me how to be accountable. Mm-hmm. I think that that is every parent's responsibility, right? And not all of them do it well, but we do the best we can. But the other thing that you helped me do was you helped me learn how to process my feelings. Mm-hmm. And my emotions and my thoughts. I mean, just basically you helped me learn how to process my thoughts so that I could become reliant on my own processing, right? Like so I could rely on myself because I understood how I was feeling, why I was feeling that way. And we joke because I know sometimes Poppy was like, just tell her no. The answer is no. Why is everything a long discussion when he was just like over it?
And you remember, though, what you did too as a child. You would come in sometimes and you're like, I just want to know yes or no. Just only yes or no.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we did just frequently go through the thought process as mm-hmm. to why we got to a conclusion.
I know. So I think I did get so good at that, that I was like, okay, I know here's how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Here's why I'm feeling that way. I know what I probably should do. So just tell me yes or no.
Yes or no. Yeah.
but that's not like that just happened. Like,
no,
overnight.
But it was a good cue for us.
Right.
That, you
so
know,
you taught me
you were going to accept yes or no.
Right.
Yeah.
You help, but that's it. You help me learn how to process my feelings. And I think that that is something that a lot of people, I see even adults mm-hmm. who are unable to process their feelings or their emotions in a healthy way. Right. And I think that's because maybe they didn't have a parent who allowed them to feel certain things that maybe are ugly, or maybe they don't understand, mm-hmm. or they had parents would tend to put like a snap judgment on them to immediately make the child retract, to think, oh, I shouldn't feel that way.
I've seen other parents see it as a reflection on them.
Right. And they're more worried about how it makes them look as opposed to how it makes their child feel.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. That's some good stuff. So the next thing is you were my cheerleader. And I've talked about this in a lot of other episodes about, I actually have a blog I wrote about it and then a podcast episode I did about, I feel like everybody needs a cheerleader mm-hmm. in their life.
I wrote that one.
Fortunately for me, it was you and Poppy too. Like you guys mm-hmm. always were my biggest supporters, but you pushed me But not too much. Like, you didn't make me do stuff I didn't want to do, but you were always there supporting me. And it's sad because I know there are a lot of people who they don't have a parent that's their cheerleader. They don't have a parent that's really, you know, rooting for them back there.
Or they give them that false, you know, oh, you can do it. Well, you know what? You can't do everything.
And you're not going to be the best. You kept it real with me.
Somebody's going to be better than you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the big wide world out there. There is a lot of competition, but yeah. You have to enjoy the process.
Yeah, it's funny. Drake was learning how to tie his shoes, and he's very impatient, and he gets that honest, as we like to say. For me, having children has really made me learn how to be more patient, and it's a good thing. That was a gift that I received from them. As difficult as receiving that gift was, I've gotten more patient. But you know, he just thought, okay, I'm going to tie my shoes today. I'm like, no, honey, like, you got to keep practicing. It's not, nobody got it right the first time. And so this is a recurring theme I'm seeing with him. And so it just made me think of it when you said being realistic, like, yes, you were my cheerleader, but you were also very realistic and saying, yeah, I've totally got your back. I'll totally support you. Now it's going to take some hard work. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be there with you to help you get there. But
you can't give up.
Right.
Yeah. That's not
never
okay.
Give up. Right. Yeah. It's okay to change your mind and decide maybe you don't want to do it anymore, but you know,
you have to complete the process, make a commitment. And so you can make a proper decision one way or the other.
Yeah. Like with Drake, he hated camp, and I was like, fine, you have to go for 1 week. And if at the end of the week you tell me you still like you absolutely hate it, then I won't make you go anymore. But you got to give it a good week. And he did. Yeah. And we got in the car and I'm like, so what do you think? Maybe keep it going. He's like, no, I hate it. And I never want to go back. I'm like, well, okay. You did what I said. Yeah. And I learned that, you know, that's his personality. He was very shy as a child. And that was just putting way, way too much pressure on him. And we've eased him out of that and he's better now. But, but anyway, so... And then there's so many things again, but the last thing that I think is probably, I mean, all of those other things are important, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the strongest reasons is that we both had a parent that let us down.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So we know what it's like. It's kind of like we were talking black and white. Yeah. It's like we have both versions of that. We have the
unconditional love that we experience
with each other.
And then we have the judgmental and the conditional love.
Yeah.
And it is a slap in the face. And so we've always said this. It makes us so appreciative to actually live in that safety environment where we have this unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And we joke about it. And what's the running joke? If you kill somebody, I'll help you
hide the body. But then we're going to have a serious talk.
Then we're going to deal with it. Yeah. I will turn you into the law. But, you know, but first we're going to take care of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as I've always said, you could be an axe murderer. I could not love you less. I would not be happy with what you did,
right?
But it's not going to change the level of my love,
right? Yeah. There's nothing. That's what I say to Drake. There's nothing you could ever do that would make me not love you. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to teach him that concept of unconditional love, and I've told him that since he was little. And now we joke about it. He's like, "Yeah, I could kill somebody," and I'm like, "I would." I'm like, "Yes, you could.
Yeah.
I wouldn't love you any less. I would like you a lot less. I wouldn't love you any less, and I would totally turn you in."
Do you remember being like maybe 11 or something? And I don't know what you had done. But you said to me, go, I don't like you. And I said, I'm really not enjoying you right now either. And you just burst into tears. You have to like me. You're my mother. I said, no, I love you. I like you. I don't like what you did.
Right.
And that was
the difference.
Yeah,
that's true. That's a good point because we were talking about this. We've talked about this a lot, and it's actually a recurring theme that I have in my podcast episodes is that nobody's perfect, right?
Oh gosh.
We're all sketchy in way. Like
we're messy humans.
Right.
Yeah.
Life's messy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you just have to learn from the mistakes that you make. Mm-hmm. And when you have a parent there that loves you unconditionally and that guides you through that without judgment, but still making you accountable, I think that as a child, you respect your parent. Mm-hmm. But, you know, back to, you know, we both had a parent that let us down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, neither one of us talked.
Not just let us down, vanished
well,
from
disappeared.
Our lives.
Yes.
So talk about strong abandonment.
Well,
like,
and then as
cold.
A parent,
yeah.
And I think as I became a parent, that strengthened our bond even more mm-hmm. because I'm like, man, this job is not easy. And my parents didn't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. Like I remember thinking when I was young, oh, well they should do everything perfectly because they're the parents. Right. And that's such a joke
yes.
because, you know, we don't know. We just do the best that we can. And so me having kids, I felt like, let you off the hook. You're like, see, it's not easy. You know, not that you ever had to say that, but you know, you have a different kind of appreciation for your parents
yeah.
once you become a parent.
Oh, you do.
And then to have one leave,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's times where you're just like, everybody get out of the house, you know,
yeah.
especially at my house. Now there's like, you know, four kids, four dogs, my husband and I, and I'm just like, get out. You know, I don't say that, but you feel that, but you never leave. But then to be raised or be a child of someone who does leave, but then you have this other parent who sticks there and now they're doing it by themselves.
It's a challenge. I think the first thing that happens is before you're a parent, you think, how unlovable must I be that my own father would just choose to never see me again?
Oh, serious abandonment issues.
Yeah.
And I had them. It took me, like I placed a lot of my self-esteem
mm-hmm.
was based on the, you know, the lack of the relationship that I had with my father. I suffered with abandonment issues for years. Now I'm better now. Mm-hmm. I've done the work on myself. I've gotten therapy. I have an awesome mom that talked to me about it.
That's like a whole session or a podcast on it.
Yeah. Own. That's like, it's a whole other one,
oh,
but,
yeah.
But back to, I think that is another reason for me, especially mm-hmm. is you've always been there for me. You've been a rock. If I ever needed you, you were there for me. There was never a worry that you were going to go away
mm-hmm.
ever. You were always there. And that is something that every kid should get to experience.
Oh, I think they should. It's just sad that
so often
it
doesn't happen.
It's not an option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's my list.
Oh,
so I think what we'll do is we will probably take a little break. And then I went to hear your list of things that you did that you believe contributed to us having a very healthy mother-daughter relationship.
All right.
Okay, so we talked about my list of things that I believe contributed to us being close. Also just what you taught me.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to hear from the mother's perspective,
sure.
your list of why you believe we're close.
I think it's going to be interesting. We may have some list overlap because obviously
naturally
we think a lot
mm-hmm.
alike. And, I thought it was cute. One of the things you had said about how your friends were always like, oh man, you know, your mom is so understanding and
mm-hmm.
you know, I would talk to them
oh, yeah.
and I can't, you're so lucky. I, as the mom, would get that from other moms. Oh, your daughter loves you. She actually treats you with respect. and you know, I would smile. And sometimes I would just want to say yes. And maybe if you treated your daughter with respect,
oh.
that would come back as well. So
right.
The first thing on my list is it wasn't easy for me to have one child, as you know. And I
mm-hmm.
lost my first son at the end of 4 months of pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was never able to have any other children. So
I broke you.
Yes, you broke
sorry.
Me. You ruined my body.
Yeah, yeah, well, I got
you
that
go.
Did that to my
mother guilt, also another podcast
yeah.
by itself.
Yeah.
But I think
one.
I seriously was so appreciative of parenting as a gift and that I'm building a lifelong relationship with another human. And in perspective, there's not anything I will ever do in my life that's going to have as much value or impact during my lifetime.
Right.
Just as impossible.
Like we were joking, like you take your parenting job very seriously. And I do too. Yes. And that is definitely something that I place the majority of my value as a person and my self-esteem mm-hmm. is dependent upon the quality mother I am. Like my number one priority is being a good mom.
Absolutely. And I do think that one of the things that made a difference for us is I taught you that being vulnerable wasn't a weakness. I allowed you to see my mistakes. I accepted when I made mistakes and we processed through it just like we did everything else.
Yeah, you were super open about, you're just very open and honest communication. And it wasn't like somebody's fault. And there wasn't, like we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. there wasn't any judgment. It was just like, you definitely taught me that being vulnerable isn't a weakness. It's a strength. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably one of the biggest contributing factors, because I think vulnerability across relationships, mm-hmm. if you can't be vulnerable with somebody, then you don't have that intimacy that's developed. So to me, I should have had that on my list.
Oh, well, that's interesting. And it's not to say that I wasn't embarrassed in front of you to make mistakes, but how else was I going to illustrate to you that it was common?
You showed me a very human side mm-hmm, of yourself mm-hmm. that, yeah.
And I think part of what went on is expectations and consequences. I was always very clear about my expectations for myself, mm-hmm. for my relationship with my husband, mm-hmm. and for you. And that included your relationships. So at different stages in your life, you had friends that I didn't necessarily care for.
right.
And it wasn't from a judgmental place. We talked one time about one of your friends that was always so depressed.
Yeah.
And because you're such a giving person, you always wanted to be there for her. Well, the more you gave, the more she needed. And I just had to share with you that there's boundaries.
And I was starting to get a little depressed.
Yes.
Because that was my environment.
Absolutely.
With her.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
And it's sad because you do want to be there for your fellow man, but there's just an appropriate level for everything.
You have to have boundaries. It's so funny. All the stuff you're saying, it's like,
so familiar.
Anybody read my blog or listen to my podcast? Aww. Do you hear my mother coming through? It's like, it's funny.
Well, and my high school friend that you met, that's hysterical because that was one of the things that, I think one of your blog articles came over and I got this email from him. He says, oh my gosh, first of all, I think your daughter must be in my head because she always addresses something that I'm going through. But the thing that I liked the most was, and then I hear you speaking because that's how you were, as a teenager. Even.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of fun. But I
am my mother's daughter.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people used to say, God, I wish I could clone myself. I said, I did.
I did. It was wonderful. And then we built a business.
And we built a business and conquered the world.
That's funny.
But I think clear expectations and consequences. And that's mm-hmm. the tough one as a parent.
Yeah,
you want to
struggle with that.
Mm-hmm. I don't want you to be sad. I want you to be happy all the time. Really, because I'm not freaking happy.
Right.
Yeah,
so that's not realistic. No. That's not life. Life has ebbs and flows. And without the downs, there wouldn't be any ups, right?
And so we were always big on, I'm appropriately unhappy in these circumstances. You know,
that was a common phrase. I'd be like, maybe I shouldn't feel that way, or maybe I just need to suck it up. And you're like, no, I think you're appropriately unhappy.
But you know, that's something that's important.
Like,
feelings. We did not tell you shouldn't feel that way. That is so ridiculous. I feel that way. I don't even want to feel that way, but you can't negate somebody's feelings.
Yeah. People feel something. You have to explore it. You can't shut it down because their feelings are real. Just like you feel hungry, you feel sad. It's your body's way of telling you something is going on.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the other things is the family dynamics. Mm-hmm. So you were raised by my husband, who's not your biological father.
Mm-hmm. Poppy.
Poppy. Mm-hmm. And Poppy.
But he's my dad.
Yeah, he's your dad. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've been married 33 years. I don't know. We quit counting because we're just lifers.
Since I was 5 and I'm turning 40.
Yeah. So that's a long time.
40.
I know. Mm-hmm. That means I'm not getting younger
you're
either.
Like, don't remind me.
Yeah. But I think the family dynamics are important because moms' relationship with their children is sometimes a jealousy factor for the spouse. And I think it's fair to just understand that there's going to be these dynamics. So my role as your mother is to put you first. That doesn't mean I love my husband any less. Mm-hmm. It just means
it's a responsibility you take on as a parent.
It's right. My role. But that doesn't mean that I allowed you to run over our relationship.
No, you set boundaries.
Yes, there were boundaries. And mm-hmm. So boundaries, consequences, and being clear about the family dynamics, and one of which I think is a big one. Matter of fact, our friend at the women's group mm-hmm. Talked about this, is some parents make their child pick who's the favorite.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a contest all the time. Mm-hmm. And I just was shocked that someone would put their child in that place and still leaves their child in that place. So they're supposed,
yeah,
you can't
see,
have a
it's
good
funny
relationship.
Because I yeah. never felt that way. So I can't, it's hard for me to
no.
think like that because to me, you and Poppy, and my dad, my biological was in and out
yeah.
of the picture and then eventually he just vanished. But,
yeah.
But you and Poppy were always a team. Like I just always saw you as a unit, like
yep.
as a partnership. And you were always very loving with each other
mm-hmm.
and supportive with each other. And, you know, when I married Rob, I, you know, I even had a discussion. It's like my parents are partners.
Right.
They support each other. They tackle things together. Yeah, they kind of have their roles, but
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, they're a partnership. And so, you know, I knew that I couldn't like get one over you.
You tried.
Get, I'm sure, right? All kids do that.
You try.
It's natural.
Yeah, you just learned pretty early on it was fruitless. So
I know. Well. It's like with the kids now, Drake's like,
yeah.
Can I have 15 more minutes of Fortnite? I'm like, what did Rob say? And he's like, oh.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I'm just like, we just say what the other person say and then they'll tell us,
to.
You know,
yeah.
but
there's
so what
one,
else? Is there another one?
Big one. Yeah.
Okay.
That I think may surprise you. You have to be willing to learn from your child.
Yeah.
We start to get jaded about things. We start to lose perspective and this is a little human soul that's come in with their whole own set of dynamics. I'm not
right.
tease about a clone, but you're a very unique individual. I respect you. I respected you all through your life because you were a good, kind, caring person. And you taught me some really interesting things over the years. Balance. My favorite thing is to quote my daughter's note. Life is about balance. You can't be 100%. You see my new saying up there. It's connection, not perfection.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
I like that.
You accepted responsibility easily. And I think that just came, that was just your soul. That's how you were.
Yeah, we talk
yeah.
about that. Allie and me are very similar
yes.
in that we would play, like she will play by herself.
Mm-hmm.
for a long time
yeah.
and entertain herself doing
right.
activities that I was like, what is going on? And you said, nope, that's how you were.
Oh, and it's so you really do learn by watching your child and seeing through their eyes some things and enjoying some experiences that you might have just taken for granted. But it's just a big eye-opening thing when all of a sudden your child teaches you
yeah,
a new tool. And you have to be open for that.
You know, it's interesting too, because, you know, kids see things from such a pure perspective
oh,
when
yeah.
they're young. And so you talk about we are, as adults, become jaded over time. And I feel like we do, like what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. When I listen to Drake Young, or I have to really make sure like I'm tuning into to what they're saying about things, because they do come at it from mm-hmm. such a pure place. And we have all of these like references and preconceived notions. And so it's like you really have to listen, and their perspectives at that age is so pure and innocent. And it almost mm-hmm. makes you think, man, like, wouldn't it be great if we ended with that?
I know sometimes you say, well, why, Mom, does it have to be that way? And when I go to say the answer, it occurs to me, it doesn't have to be that
way. Exactly. And you can make it better. Mm-hmm. So definitely, I think that ties in with learning from your children. Absolutely. Even when they're little, and then hopefully when they're older.
It's an evolving relationship. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're more giving, and then you're starting to receive from your child. And then we're into this stage now where we are equals, and mm-hmm. then we're going to go over to the next stage.
And then you'll live with me and Rob.
I'm going to drive you crazy.
Man, you're easy.
Poppy, on
Poppy, I'm going to have to turn the hose on sometimes. He gets his wild hairs.
Yeah.
Well, I really enjoyed this. I think that it's neat for people to see kind of the mom behind me, because mm-hmm. a lot of the things that I talk about, I mean, everything I talk about is their values that I learned from you. And that's how I was raised. And then, you know, I tie in my psychology and the mm-hmm. stuff that I'm passionate about, you know, into that.
You know so much more that's unique from me or from what I did raising you. So you just went to your whole new level yourself.
Well, thank you. I think you did a pretty good job.
I'm patting myself on the back.
Not that I'm being self, you know, like conceited, but I'm very happy. You've raised a happy daughter. I'm happy with where I'm at in my life. I've gone through hardships. You've mm-hmm. always been there for me. But I feel like I've finally to a point in my life where I've achieved some peace. I mean, it's always work in progress, right? Sure. Just when you think you got a grip on everything, life throws you something else. Always. But you have equipped me with the tools to be able to face those things and get through them and overcome them. So thanks, Mom.
Thank you.
I love you.
Love you.
Thanks for coming today. And we'll have to do this again.
Let's pick a fun topic. We'll get some controversial topics going here.
If anybody has any ideas, give us some suggestions. You can visit me at nikkibooker.com. I have a newsletter you can subscribe to. I also offer private coaching, if that's something that you're interested in. If you want to give us some suggestions on or some feedback or comments on today's podcast episode, if you subscribe to my newsletter, you get my personal email address, and I love hearing from you. Thanks again for listening. Have the best day, and maybe call your mom today. Just, you know, say hi, tell her you love her. I think that would be pretty awesome.